Let me invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 16. Our lesson tonight will be coming from Luke chapter 16. As you know, a great part of our Lord's teaching was done in the form of parables. A parable is an earthly story that reveals spiritual truths. I believe we could say that perhaps this was our Lord's favorite method of teaching. When you stop and think about His teaching, you'll notice that there are a great number of parables recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Well, we're looking at one of those parables tonight in Luke chapter 16. Luke records the largest number of parables that were spoken by our Lord. I believe there are at least 24 parables recorded in Luke's account of the gospel, and several of them are very unique. Well, I believe we are looking at one of those unique parables tonight, recorded in Luke 16, 1 through 15, the parable of the unjust steward. Now, as you go through the parables of Jesus Christ, I believe some of the parables are straightforward. I believe others could be a little bit more challenging. I would say, in my opinion, that this is one of the more challenging parables that was spoken by our Lord, but it's a great parable. And like all parables, the parables of our Lord Jesus Christ speak of spiritual matters that can really help us as we strive to walk in the light. Now tonight, as we look at this parable, we simply want to do this. First of all, we want to consider the parable, and we're going to read verses 1 through 7, and as we read verses 1 through 7, we're going to see the parable. And then in verse 8, I want you to notice the master's response. And then what we'll do, beginning at verse number 9, going down to the end of the parable, around verse number 15, is we'll make some observations. And then after we make some observations, we want to note four principles of stewardship, and the lesson will be yours. So let's begin, first of all, by looking at the parable itself. And I just want to begin by reading the first seven verses, and we'll get a good idea of what is being said. And he said unto his disciples, there was a rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig to beg. I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? He said, 100 measures of oil. He said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? He said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill, write 80. Jesus tells a story about a man, a steward who was handling his master's goods. We see that this steward is called in to give an account. And this steward is somewhat surprised. This steward is behind himself because he knows that he's about to get fired, and he doesn't know what to do. He didn't want to do manual labor. He didn't want to sweat. He was too proud to beg. And so he has an idea. He calls some of his master's debtors, and you'll notice as we read the parable, he reduced the amounts. One man owed 100 pounds of wheat, the other 100 pounds of oil, and he says, quickly, reduce the amount. And the reason he reduced the amount was so he would have friends. That is, once his master let him go, he had others to rely upon. But as you think about, as the title suggests, the unjust steward, we are reading about a man who was a liar, one who was cheating others. I guess we might define the unjust steward as a scoundrel, but I want you to notice how his master responds to him. And you'll notice in verse 8 that his master commends him for what he is doing, for how he's handling it. Notice with me verse number 8. And the Lord commanded the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of the light. When you began to look at the second part of verse number 8, the last part, we begin to see what our Lord is teaching. Well, what is our Lord teaching in all of this? Well, as you look at the end of verse number 8, the conclusion that Jesus draws from this parable is this: you need to be more like this unjust steward. Now, think about that. You need to be more like this unjust steward. Well, in what way? Well, we're about to talk about that in just a few minutes, but keep that thought in mind, because in verse number 9, the Lord advises his disciples in verse 9, and I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. And then notice the principles, beginning at verse number 10, that Jesus gives to his disciples. Look at verse number 10. Notice these principles. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Now remember what we said back in verse number 8. As Jesus is teaching his disciples, he encourages them to be more like this unjust steward. Now question, is Jesus approving of the actions of this unjust steward? Not at all. In fact, when you look at this parable, this parable has to do with Christian prudence. And prudence is really making application of wisdom. What is being commended in the parable is the resourcefulness of the steward. You see, this parable is more of an indictment against the sons of men, the children of God, than the children of the world. Now, I want to go back to verse number 8, and we're going to make some observations. We're going to make four observations before we look at the principles of stewardship. And I want to make these observations beginning at verse number 8. You can see from the text what Jesus says at verse number 8, but notice this first observation. If Christians were as diligent and resourceful in kingdom business as businessmen are in the business world, great things are going to happen in the kingdom of God. More things are going to happen. Again, if we use the resources that God has given us, again, great things are going to happen in the kingdom of God. Spiritual things are going to happen. Again, that's the first observation that we see here in verse number 8. Now look at verse number 9. And notice the second observation. Christians should use the resources they have at their disposal, listen to it, while they have them for godly purposes, and in so doing, they will lay up for themselves treasures in heaven. Again, we should use the resources that God has given to us for godly purposes. And in so doing, we will lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. I want you to go ahead and mark your spot there because we're fixing to come back to verse 10. But I want to turn back, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6 because I believe what Matthew chapter 6 says in this chapter sheds light on this parable and the lessons, the teaching that we gain from it. Well, here in Matthew chapter 6, you'll remember in verse number 19, Jesus says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Now, when you consider what Jesus is saying in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 19, Jesus is encouraging us to invest in the spiritual. Well, how do we do that? We take the resources that God has given to each one of us, we take those resources while we have them, and we use them for godly purposes, spiritual purposes. We invest in the spiritual. And as you think about investing in the spiritual, there are so many different things that we can invest in, spiritually speaking. You think about just all of the good works that you know of that are going on in the kingdom of God right now. Brother Ray just mentioned one in his prayer about men going over to Africa to preach the gospel. You think about all of the schools of preaching that are out there that are preparing men to go and preach the gospel. A lot of times we focus maybe on Southwest because it's right here in our neighborhood, and many of the men that have stood behind this pulpit have a part with that school. But listen, that's not the only biblical preaching school that there is. There are some great preaching schools throughout the world, and we ought to be thankful for those schools as those schools are preparing men. And I'm just mentioning a couple of things that we can invest in, that we can take our resources for a good cause and invest in these things spiritually speaking. You know, we talk about Africa and we talk about Jamaica and we talk about the mission field in these areas and no question there's a mission field there. You realize we have a mission field right here. A mission field right here And so again, are we using our resources, investing in spiritual things, doing good things with what God has given us while we have them? Remember, when we make those spiritual investments, remember, we are laying up for ourselves treasure where? In heaven. And so God encourages us to invest in the spiritual. Now, let's go back to Luke chapter 16. We're looking at verse number 10, and we're about to make our third observation. But before we make this observation in verse number 10, I believe we need to define some terms. You'll notice that the term mammon is found three times in this context. One other time in the New Testament, found in Matthew 6, verse number 24. This particular word is defined as riches, worldly gains, and the reason Jesus refers to it as unrighteous mammon is probably because of the dangers that are associated with riches, with money. And you stop and think about all of the passages in the Old Testament and all of the passages in the New Testament that talk about the love of money being the root of all evil. You know, you can go back to the Old Testament. And one of Israel's downfalls was their prosperity. It went to their head. And they trusted in their riches and not in the living God. And you remember Paul encourages the brethren in Ephesus as he is writing to them in 1 Timothy chapter 6 to invest in the spiritual. Don't trust, he says, in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives to you liberally. Now again, God gives so that we can give back to Him, and we're reading about why we give back to Him, why we use those resources that He's given us. We use those things, again, to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. Practically speaking, Solomon would say in Proverbs 23, verse 23, buy the truth and sell it not. Invest in the truth. You can look at the patriarchal dispensation. You can look at the Mosaic dispensation. And you can look at the Christian dispensation. And God has always had these expectations upon His people. Think about it like this. When the people of God went into the promised land, do you realize that land was divided among the tribes and the Levites? They didn't receive any of the land. They didn't receive any of the land. Now, they were given cities to carry out their task, but the Levites were supported by the Israelites. Oh, you can go back a little further, and we read about Abraham. Well, we read about Abraham making tithes, giving to the Lord. And God has always required that. It takes money, you see, to do the Lord's work. And God has blessed us. God has given us resources, and He's encouraging us in this parable to use those things wisely. Now, with that said, look at verse number 10. Notice this observation. If you are unfaithful with the material things God has given you, what makes you think that you're going to be qualified or faithful with true riches, with the spiritual? Oh, you stop and think about these observations. They're thought-provoking. Again, if we're unfaithful in that which is least, what makes us think that we're going to be faithful with the treasure that God has given us? In fact, Paul refers to the gospel as a treasure. We have this treasure in hidden vessels, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, that the excellency, the power may be of God and not of us. We have something very, very valuable. And even living the Christian life, God expects us, again, to be faithful, to be a good steward. But He wants us to think if we are unfaithful, in that which is least in the physical realm. Again, what makes us think that we're going to be faithful in the spiritual? Now notice this last observation, and then we'll note these principles of stewardship. This last observation really comes from verses 11 through 13. Think about this observation. Financial matters are spiritual matters. And as you continue to look at what the Lord is teaching His disciples, money, He says, is a great revealer of the heart. It points to where our affection lies. It also points to whom we serve. As Jesus would say in Matthew 6, verse number 24, no man can serve two masters. Now as you stop and really wrap your mind around what's being said, let's summarize this parable. We should serve God with the resources that we have with the same fervency that we used to attain them. Think about that. With the same fervency that we've used to obtain them. And again, when we do that, we will find ourselves investing in the spiritual. Again, this is all about stewardship. This is all about using the resources that God has given to each one of us. Now, let's think about the principles of stewardship. And I'll give these to you, and then the lesson will be yours tonight. The first principle of stewardship that we see in this context has to do with divine ownership. If you would, turn back to Psalm 24. Psalm 24. Well, what does that mean? The principle of divine ownership. Well, turn back to Psalm 24. Read with me verse number 1. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Well, what does that mean? God owns everything. Everything in this world. This earth is God's house. He created it. And everything that is in this world belongs to God. Even when it comes to time and money, it's God's. It belongs to Him. And so as you think about the principles of stewardship, if we're going to be a faithful steward, we need to remember that everything belongs to God. Everything that I own, everything that you own, it belongs to God. God owns my boat. I feel like giving that boat away sometimes because it doesn't run right now. It's broke down. But again, He owns everything that we have. You realize how important that is when it comes to stewardship. You read the parable of the rich farmer. And you go through that parable, and I encourage you to work through that parable and notice the personal pronoun that is used in the parable of the rich farmer. It was all about him. He never recognized that it was God who was blessing him. Divine ownership. The second principle of stewardship is this: human endowment. While everything that we own belongs to God, He has given what we have to us. This steward that we're reading about in Luke chapter 16 did not own what he managed. God owns it. We are simply stewards of what He has given us. Again, divine ownership, human endowment. But what happens is a lot of times we dwell on what others have so much that sometimes we fail to appreciate what we have, what God has blessed us with. But again, these principles, again, they will help us be faithful stewards, knowing that God is the one that owns everything. And I'm thankful what God has given to me, and I'm going to use what God has given me to do good works. You see in Ephesians 2, verse number 10, we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Notice the third principle of stewardship. The third principle of stewardship is faithful administration. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. Faithful administration. As I think about the principles of stewardship, these points would actually go along with the parable of the talents that we read about in Matthew chapter 25. To one man he gave 5 talents, to another man he gave 2 talents according to his ability. Again, faithful administration. But if we understand the principle, we are going to take what God has given us, whatever resources that we have, and we're going to do something. We're going to put those resources to use for good works. He owns everything, and He is the one that has given me what I have, and He expects me to be a faithful steward. In fact, when you look at the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25, verse number 16, to the 5-talent man, to the 5-talent man, and to the other man, it says they went out straightway. Listen to the language. At once, they got busy. A principle, Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. For whatsoever your hands findeth to do, do it with your might. God expects us to do something. Think about the 1-talent man. What did he do? Oh, he took what God had given him, but he went and what? He buried it. He could have done something, but his concept of his master wasn't right. He was afraid. His fear paralyzed him. And God called him a wicked and slothful servant. The principle of divine ownership. The principle of human endowment. The principle of faithful administration. And notice the fourth principle of stewardship. Inevitable accounting. We see here in Luke chapter 16 that this steward had to give an account. And you know what? One of these days, Clay is going to give an account. You're going to give an account. God is going to hold us accountable, Romans 14, verse number 12. And so I hope this lesson will challenge all of us in here tonight to be a faithful steward of what God has blessed us with. I hope we'll pray about this. I hope we will really study God's Word. Again, as you look at this parable, I believe it's a challenging parable when you look at it, because God is really wanting us to think about the resources that we have. Are we using those resources like He wants to? Do we have fervency in using those resources? When you think about the nature of the Lord's work, there is so much to do. I'm convinced that if you had $3 million and you invested that $3 million in the Lord's work, there'll still be more to invest in. Again, that's the nature of God's work, but that's why God wants every individual, again, to use their resources. Whether it's a lot, whether it's a little, you do what you can. One truth I think we miss about Mary so often, recorded in Mark chapter 14. You remember what Jesus said about Mary? She did what she could. And I hope you're doing what you can. I hope that I'm doing the same, because there is a cause. Think about the cause. And when you focus on the cause, you'll want to invest in the spiritual. You realize God has blessed you, and out of blessing you want to give, because you appreciate everything that God has given. You see, God loves a cheerful giver, and it's more blessed to give than to receive. The lesson is yours tonight. If we can help you spiritually speaking, we ask that you come forward right now as we stand and as we sing.